This is the Friday, August 23, 2024 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The private industry crop tours dominated the social media headlines as a lack of fresh news kept the bulls on the hungry side. For the week, the nearby wheat contract lost 28 cents and the September corn contract fell 3 cents. China appeared to see value in the soy complex. The September soybean contract added 13 cents, while September meal gained $2.90 per ton. December cotton expanded $3.54 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures, they lost a dime. The livestock market was mixed. October cattle shed $2.60. September feeders cut 92 cents. And the October lean hog contract improved $5.47. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index weakened 189 ticks. October crude oil fell 94 cents per barrel. COMEX gold gained $8.90 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index dropped more than 9 points to settle at 531.95. Joining us now is one of our regular market analysts, Chris Robinson. Hi, Chris.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
This wheat market has had a run. I think the last time you were here in July, we were higher. We're not that now. There's a story about the EU having a better crop than thought. There's Russia wheat on the market. What is your headline dominator in wheat?
Four-year lows and that rally that we had this summer. We had a $2 rally. I mean, it was looked like, you know, we were going to get something really going. There was no follow through. We've seen that for 2 years since we came off the pandemic highs. I think that's been the hardest thing for a lot of producers to go through. That we had that rally from 20 to 22. We're like, okay, this is something real. Inflation's here to stay. And you know, really, for the past year and a half, 2 years, we've seen every rally fail, and even with lots of fundamental reasons for it to not fail. And you know, the last USDA report we came out with, you know, we're plentiful. We have plentiful supplies. Now, we have relatively low supplies if you go back looking years and years in. But if you look around the world, you know, every time there is a rally, somebody sells it. I'm a big believer that Russia and Ukraine, they were sandbagging all along. They've been, you know, every time there's a bid, they hit the offer. And I would probably continue to see that. Now, they had a bad harvest in France. They had a bad harvest in France. I think their worst harvest since 1980. It hasn't moved the needle. So when a market gets friendly news and it doesn't move the needle, and obviously how we finished this week tells you that, it's telling you that the market still wants to reprice. And that's why, you know, that's why we hedge, because we don't know where the bottom is going to be.
September wheat's lost 5%. December wheat's lost 4%. Do you cut your losses before this thing gets worse?
Oh, I think that if you've done nothing all year, I mean, you're in a situation where, you know, if you have to sell, you have to sell. But, you know, I work with a lot of clients and I'm like, look, we can't go back in time and say woulda, coulda, shoulda. Those were opportunities that were there. If you miss them, we've got to look ahead. So if you're selling them, absolutely, you know, look for an opportunity to resell them. We're at four-year lows. Anybody that will honestly look you in the eye and tell you, oh, don't worry, it's going to rally, don't believe them. We may be going back to where we were 2014 to 2020. We were in this sideways trading range with not a whole lot of opportunity. That's my fear for producers.
Someone wrote in a newsletter this morning, roll, roll, roll your puts. Corn specifically is top of mind, but I got to say, Chris, there has to be some optimism this thing hasn't fallen further in the last couple of weeks, right? Or am I, your roll, your puts sounds like we're headed lower.
Yeah, and you talk about corn, you know, we had that one last rally in May. We got up to, I think it was 496. We didn't get the $5 print. Everybody's waiting for the $5 print. Well, look where we are today, you know, 392. You have to do the math. So you didn't have a whole lot of opportunity. Most people, when we were at $5, maybe they hedged 480 or 475. So those are the puts I was talking about rolling down. Rolling them is down to, you know, we broke a dollar. If you can roll them down, why do you want to roll down a put? Because at some point we're going to come in and I don't know what the reason is, but we're going to have a 30, 40 cent rally. So you have very, very expensive puts, which have helped you. You don't want to see those go worthless. You want to see cheap ones go worthless, ones that are worth 10, 12 cents. And if you look at the big picture, where if you look at the historical picture of corn, there's probably another 25 to 30 cents worth of risk if we go down to where we were, again, back in that 2014 to 2020 area. So look at that risk right there. You don't want to have a lot. When the downside risk is 30 or 40 cents at this point, right, we've already broke a dollar, you don't want to have very expensive puts on. I'm not saying it doesn't mean no puts. It just means make sure they're very, very cheap.
Well, new crop is a story. We talked about the private estimates that were out there. There's another chatter that goes a 30 bushel to the acre difference in Iowa corn prediction. Do you believe any of those tours, surveys, snapshots?
I believe what those everybody that's on that tour is doing their best to report what they see. And we talked about this a little bit in the break. You know, so you can have the right information and still be wrong with your outcome. So now when we're at four-year lows, everybody's saying, well, where's the bottom? Bottom line is it's a big crop. And, you know, we've known that for a while, especially after that last USDA. The carryout, especially for soybeans, is burdensome. We've had a good growing season here in North America. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where what's that 20 bushels extra going to mean to us? And we'll have to wait and see. And I think the proof will be in the pudding in the January 5th end of year number. That's when we'll have to deal with those numbers.
Soybeans is a story that seems to get worse. Then all of a sudden China shows up. What's the headline that impacted the most, do you feel, on the old crop this week?
Well, old crop is going to be moving kind of separate from new crop. I think the bigger risk now is, you know, because we're going to be harvesting soon. The Chinese have, you know, done this. They've folded their arms for a while. Everybody's well aware of that. They've been coming here. They came in and bought three times this week, which is good. We were hearing rumors about it last week, but they were confirmed this week. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, why wouldn't they be when we're at four-year lows? You know, of course, they're going to become more aggressive when we're at four-year lows. And you had the big drop in the U.S. dollar today. We're almost to one-year lows in the U.S. dollar. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them step in and open their checkbooks. The question is, can they buy enough to really drive up price, because the supply is burdensome?
But another question for me, though, is if they're buying, does that indicate that maybe the low is here or close by?
I would say we're probably nearer the bottom than we were, you know, 2 weeks ago. But to play that game of, okay, we're going to stop here, it's kind of a little late. The horse is out of the barn. And is there more risk? Yeah. If 950 new crop beans fails, the next thing they're going to do is try and push it down to $9. So your worst case scenario, I'd be worried about soybeans with an 8 in front of it.
Okay. Well, that kind of leads to my question. Ben in Iowa wanted to know, sent me an email. Down, 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 go the grains for months on end. Is there a low price point where you would advise lifting hedges on December 24 corn and November 24 beans because the upside has more potential?
I'm a big believer, and after doing this for 30 years and watching people, kind of blow themselves up being wrong on their opinion, you keep your protection on until you sell that grain. The day you sell the grain, then you worry about getting out of those puts, because we just witnessed that here with this big horrendous sell-off we had in wheat. I work with clients like, well, it's broke so far. Let's sell those puts. Okay. And then they would sell some wheat, but then they would also, then it would break again. So rather than speculate with your hedges, keep your hedges on. Your risk is real, and you use the tool to prevent your big ideas from hurting you. So like I said, my biggest concern is that we're going back to where we were 2014, 2020, narrow ranges, not a whole lot of opportunity, and it's going to be a grind and a fight.
Cotton, real quick, big rally, can that sustain itself?
Big rally off of contract lows and after just getting hammered again earlier. So I think that 70 cents is a big level. It's a big psychological level for a lot of producers. It has been a good recovery bounce. I don't know if it's going to have legs. I think that's a China trade as well. I'm still a solo of rallies in cotton.
Cattle on feed came out right before we recorded. Numbers were, I think you told me, bearish. Here's why. On feed, 101. Placed, 106. Marketed, 108. Which number frightens you the most?
the placements, and you know, there's more out there, and that's a bearish report. Now, we've had a lot of bearish reports in the last 4 years. Pull up a chart of live cattle or feeder cattle, and it looks like NVIDIA. It's just gone straight up into the rate. So we're overdue for a correction. We're starting to get a little bit of a disconnect between the stock market and cattle. Mm-hmm. That was my big worry thing there, because the, you know, the stock market, we had a correction, that's rallied back, and you had continued pressure in the cattle, especially in the deferred months. It's not about what's really happening right now in the front months. I realize the cash market is strong, box beef is good, but if you look out in those deferred months, April next year, they've all turned. And again, it's a futures market, it's not a right now market. If I'm a cattle producer, and I've been kind of banging the pots and pans for the last month, not protecting cattle here, in my opinion, is like not protecting corn when we were at $7.50 or beans when we were at $16, because it's nice if it lasts, but you're going to want your protection on for when and if it does have a bad correction. So you're starting to get a little bit of turn, and this cattle on feed is another one. Now, you know, we'll see how we trade on Monday, but I'm more concerned about where we're going to be 3 months from now, 4 months from now, than we're going to be really maybe even 2 or 3 weeks.
And where we're at in hogs is 2 weeks of gains. Is there a third on the horizon?
I think part of that was a little bit of spreading between the cattle and the hogs as well. But again, if you look at big picture with the hogs had just had a pretty, you know, terrible sell-off, 18 cents a hundred weight between the highs and the lows just recently. So we're coming off those lows. We've had a nice, almost a halfway back trade. If you read my letter, I talk about that. That's a very common thing. So if we do get to that halfway back of that 17 cents a hundred weights we just lost, it's an opportunity for producers to do some hedging. I think a big part of what happens with the price for lean hogs, if we start to get any real pressure in the cattle, which is what my concern is, it might bring the whole protein complex down. And again, I can't say that enough. The one commodity in the ags that has done well, regardless, for the past 4 years, has been cattle. And my concern is that it's going to turn and catch up with what everything else has done, which has come back down to where we were in 2022, 2021 prices.
And we've come to the end of our discussion. Chris, good to see you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are going to pause this analysis, continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. We've concluded our time at the Iowa State Fair, but still have something to share with you as we enter our 50th season. We recorded 2 new episodes of the MTOM podcast there. Subscribe today to hear some of our history and the outlook for agriculture from 2 of our regular market analysts. Next week, we'll start our series of lookbacks at the first 50 years of this program. Thank you so very much for watching. Have a great week.